Russell Deo sailed through his nomination hearing today to be the next Undersecretary of Management at the Homeland Security Department. He comes to DHS after working as an executive at Johnson & Johnson. He says standard financial data will be among his top priorities if the Senate confirms him. Federal News Radio executive editor Jason Miller is here to tell us what he learned about his management plans and style. And DHS, of course, has made a lot of progress around financial management in recent years. How does he want to capitalize on that and push it forward, Jason?
You're absolutely right. In 2013 was actually the first year the DHS received an unqualified opinion from its auditors around their financial management processes. And that was a huge deal. I mean, we're talking about a decade or more where they didn't have a qualified audit opinion, meaning their books did not close well. And this is not like my reporter's notebook that just doesn't close because it's overflowing.
That's got like coffee lids and stuff
and lint probably. But the point is that this was a huge deal. So what Deo says, he recognizes that this is a big accomplishment, but he wants to make sure DHS doesn't slip back. Now, at the same time, he lays out the next step toward better financial management.
The next big piece, as far as I can see so far, is we need to have a fully integrated financial management system across all the components. You have to have reliable information so you can make smart budget decisions and have good analytics to make good strategic decisions. And having ledger sheets that don't match up and you can't compare apples to apples across the groups makes it very, very difficult to make informed strategic decisions. I think it's critical that the agency have a long-term focus, and you can't do that if you don't have reliable data. So that is an existent high priority within the finance group and indeed with the leadership of the department, and I strongly embrace that.
Now, Deo says that Johnson & Johnson would have been unimaginable not to have that common financial system to make strategic decisions. Now, to be fair to DHS, they are heading down that path. In fact, I was at an event earlier this week that ACT-IAC put on around shared services, and one of the discussions was around what DHS is doing with financial management. Not the whole panel, but just a piece of it. Mm-hmm. And in fact, they are moving three components to Interior's Business Center. I know TSA, I know Coast Guard, and I think FEMA is the third that are moving to the Interior Business Center's shared service for financial management.
What else did he talk about at this hearing as wanting to be his focus managerially besides financial management?
You know, it's interesting. I watch a lot of these nomination hearings, and sometimes you get a lot, sometimes you get a little. I think Deo actually was one of the better ones, and he offered some really good insights into his approach to managing DHS. He says his experience in the private sector will actually serve him well as he takes on a decidedly different role at DHS. For Johnson & Johnson, Deo had broad experience as general counsel. He managed HR, procurement, even real estate, and other back office functions.
I do think my experience in private industry should bring a fresh perspective to this role. As you well know, DHS consists of several operational components. The Undersecretary for Management leads a group of six administrative functions that provide support to these components. But importantly, this management group is also an engine that can drive better outcomes and greater efficiency through collaboration by and between the components and by standardization of strong policies, practices, and reporting.
Now, Deo says one of the biggest lessons learned is he wants to bring to DHS is about how they prepare and address current and future challenges.
In a tough competitive environment, companies like Johnson & Johnson need to be proactive, anticipating problems and opportunities and planning for contingencies. If confirmed, I would try to reinforce this proactive approach going forward. In sum, I believe that my experience at Johnson & Johnson should serve me well in meeting the challenges that the department faces to collaborate, align priorities, manage money effectively, and deliver on its critical mission.
Now, DHS already is heading down this path in some regards. If you remember, we've talked a lot about the management cube over the last year. Mm-hmm. This is where they're using data to make better decisions, potentially see problems that are maybe going to become too big, but they can see them earlier on so they don't have that great of an impact on their mission areas. Now, this concept of management cube or data-driven decision-making actually has been expanded by Secretary Jay Johnson's Unity of Effort Initiative. And Deo said in his pre-hearing questions he submitted to the committee that collaborative decision-making is one of the three areas he wants to build on of those current efforts. Now, former DHS Secretary Michael Chertoff introduced Deo and supports his nomination. Now, remember, this is key because Mr. Chertoff was a Republican DHS Secretary. Mm-hmm. Mr. Deo is obviously in the Democratic field.
Yes.
So it's interesting that they had this kind of cross-the-aisle introduction. Mm-hmm. Now, Chertoff says Deo's role is more important than ever as DHS faces more and more challenges. He outlined anything from Ebola to constrained budgets, to even what he called a foreign fighter problem that's going to impact border, aviation, and infrastructure security of the country. Now, on top of that, Chertoff says DHS's back office systems, and we're talking acquisition, finance, HR, as others, really still need to mature. And that's going to be a big role that Mr. Deo is going to have to look into. Now, Deo says his initial priorities align with what Chertoff and others say and what GAO has detailed in their high-risk lists. One area that definitely needs more immediate attention, he says, is adding more rigor to the procurement process.
The structure of the life cycle management of acquisitions looks pretty good. What's needed is disciplined about each stage review to make sure that the requirements are clearly defined. Each step is being met before it moves on, and that takes discipline, and it takes collaboration between the center and the components. I think it's a question of shared accountability, where both feel accountable for the outcomes that the, particularly on the highest priority acquisitions that are most critical to the mission, and we need to gain alignment with the components and the center on what those are. They need to be the highest priority, appropriately addressed, and put at the top of the list and managed well because the outcomes are so critical.
The two other nominations today at this hearing, Federal News Radio's Jason Miller covering it today, another DHS executive and a Postal Service Board of Governors nominee. What'd you learn about them today?
Right. The two other ones, Sarah Saldana is nominated to be the Assistant Secretary for Immigration and Customs Enforcement at DHS. Now, that's a position that's been vacant in the Senate confirmed for more than 14 months. So that's much needed. Mm-hmm. The second was actually Mickey Barnett to be a governor in the U.S. Postal Service. And in fact, he's been in that role since 2006. This will be his third term as governor. So in many ways, it was just a perfunctory nomination. Now, Senator Tom Coburn is the ranking member of the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. He says Saldana has one of the toughest jobs in government, given all the challenges with immigration and border security. But she says her leadership skills developed over the years will be important if she is confirmed.
In a position like this, the demands are great. You cannot get into the weeds necessarily, but you can make sure that the people that are around you running the day-to-day operations are the finest, the best trained, and that you work as the leader of that office to provide them the tools they need. Decision-making, deliberate, but timely. You can't just sit on decisions, and you've got to think them through. Be thoughtful, get all the information you can, and then do what's in the best interest of the American people. And then finally, communication. In this position, with 20,000 employees across the world, with all the agencies we have somewhat overlapping jurisdiction with, all of that, it's important to be communicating with them. And I've done that as a United States attorney. I've had to deal with the local law enforcement in 100 counties. There's a sheriff in each one of them. There's a police chief. There are constables. And I think all of that is going to serve me well.
Now, as for Barnett, he continued to beat the postal reform drum. He says the Postal Service is in crisis mode with $6 billion in liabilities. And he says, you know, Congress really needs to step in and give them flexibilities to change their business model and to make them more nimble and make them more able to look at their tests and trials and say, okay, how can we get this approved through the Postal Regulatory Commission more quickly? Because right now that just takes too long. One quick note on the postal reform as well is Senator Tom Carper says he expects this to come up and to be debated, the reform legislation, during the upcoming lame duck session.
That's Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio.